Exodus chapter 5, look at verse 1 and 2. As I was reading through the scripture, Brother Coolidge, Pharaoh made a statement, and I couldn't shake this. And so I'm going to preach a message today about a statement that Pharaoh made. Notice in Exodus chapter 5, verse 1, afterwards Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus said the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." Look at verse 2. And Pharaoh said, and here's what really caught me, Eddie. Look what Pharaoh says to Moses. "Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord that I shall obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, verse 3, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." Notice again, verse 2, what Pharaoh said to Moses and Aaron. "Who is the Lord?" I want to use that thought today to bring a message to you. I think a lot of people make that statement down through the years. And I just want to give you a thought who the Lord really is today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for being our mighty God and our great God. And Lord, I just pray that we can be a blessing to everyone here today. Lord, if there's people that doesn't never have received you as Savior, pray that they'll know Christ as their Savior today. And Lord, encourage the Christians. And Lord, we have a lot of folks that are very ill and different things. Please, oh God, reach down with the healing hand of Christ. Give healing to us. Give us the balm of Gilead, I pray. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Pharaoh asked Moses this question in response to his. He said, "Who is the Lord?" "Moses, why should I obey your God? Moses, who's your Lord that I should obey him and do his wishes and do his commands? Who do you think you are, Moses? I don't know your God. Get away from me, Moses. I'm not going to listen to you. Who is this God that you're talking about that I should obey him?" You know, I thought about that statement. Down through the centuries of time, many foolish people, kings and rulers, rich and famous, and even poor alike, they've made statements similar to that. Why should I obey God? Who is God that I should be thoughtful of him? Are you with me? You know, Pharaoh, I believe, was a foolish man. He was a foolish. Psalms 14:1 says, "The fool had said in his heart, there's no God." You know, all the Egyptians, they had false gods. But they never real God. You know, and they should have known that the God of the Hebrews was the true and living God, the creator. Who is this God, Pharaoh? Who is this God, Moses, that you want me to serve and obey? Well, Moses, what's so special about your God that I should obey him? Moses, give me some reasons why I should obey and fear your God, the God of the Hebrews. Go ahead, Moses. You tell me. Who is your God? You tell me why I should do it. Well, Pharaoh, Moses could have said, first of all, the Lord God, not only is he the God and the creator of heaven and earth, but he's also the sustainer of all things. Did you know our Lord's not just a creator? He's the sustainer of all things. You ever think about that? Colossians 1:16 and 17 says this, talking about Jesus Christ. "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or principalities, or dominions or principalities, powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Hey, Pharaoh, here's why you should obey him. First of all, he's God Almighty. He's the creator. And not only that, you're here today, Pharaoh, because he's letting you breathe. Years ago, a man sang a song. "All the air that I breathe, he's just lending to me. and I owe everything to him. We do. A lot of people forget who God really is. The air that I breathe, he's just lending to me. Who is the Lord God? Well, he's our creator, number one. Number two, not only is he our creator, he's our sustainer. You know, as you read through Exodus, you're going to find later on, we're not preaching that today, but it says that they needed water, and they said, strike the, they talked about a tree. And, you know, a tree does a lot of things. A tree gives you shade, right? A tree gives you shelter. And I'll tell you another thing this tree gave you. The tree gave you the cross of Calvary. The tree gave you a savior. Amen. I'm going to tell you, Pharaoh needed a savior. He needed the God of the Hebrews to be his savior. By the way, if you've never trusted him, you need that God of the Hebrews too. Well, I noted this. Who is the Lord God of the Hebrews? I'm going to read to you from the book of Isaiah. Let me just read to you Isaiah, starting with Isaiah 43 in verse 10 through 10 and 11. Ye are my witnesses. Are you his witnesses? How many are witnesses for God? Then let the world know it. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord. Besides me, there's no Savior. That's who he is, Pharaoh. Isaiah chapter 40, 2, verse 8. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, need my praise to graven images. Isaiah chapter 40. I got verse 13. Who had directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, or had taught him? No one. No one's ever taught him. He teaches us. With whom took he counsel, and whom instructed him, and taught him the path of judgment, and taught the knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? No one! He's God! Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, are counted as a small dust. The balance he taketh up the isles as a very small little thing. Look, verse 28. Lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host. In other words, you know, he said, kids, look up your teens. When you go out tonight, look up and see if you can see those stars. How many of you ever on a summer night, I know it's winter now, but on a summer night, you ever go out on a summer night and boy, you get the sky, like there's like just multi-thousands of stars. He said in Isaiah, go out there one night and look up and look at the host. Look at all those stars. He made every one of them. I want you to know there's a creator behind every one of those things that's shining at you and blinking and twinkling. There's a creator behind it. Not only did he create them, the Bible says he gave each a name. He knows every name of them. Verse 28, has thou not known, has that now heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. Hey, Pharaoh, that's who the Lord is. Amen. Hey, Pharaoh, you need to understand who you're talking about. Pharaoh, you need to fear him. Pharaoh, you better not get God mad. You know, we better be careful that we don't anger the Lord God of the Hebrews. Are you with me? Pharaoh, he's your creator. You don't want to anger him, Pharaoh. Hebrews 10:31 says this, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You know what, Brother Coolidge, not many lost people, and even some saved people, they don't fear God. They live reckless lives. They live lives that have no concern for God, what God thinks. You know, we need to understand some things. Carl, before we do something, we better make sure God's in it. God, are you pleased with this? See, here's the thing. Many times we do things and we don't care if he's pleased or not. Who is the Lord God? He's the creator. By the way, he's the God that watches over you and he sees all things. Are you pleasing him today? Is he pleased with what you're doing? Is he pleased with what I'm doing? Can anyone say amen or oh me? Hebrews 12:29. For our God's a consuming fire. I'm going to tell you, yeah, he is a loving God. He sent Christ to die for and shed his blood. And he is love, mercy, and grace. But he also is vengeance and fire and wrath. Amen? Don't mock God. There's a lot of people that mock us, Rod. How many of you have been witnessing people made fun of you? They make fun of you. By the way, they mocked Noah in Noah's day. Oh, there's not going to be no flood. Coolidge tells people, better get ready, Jesus is coming. I guarantee you they mock Coolidge. Oh, that guy's just no religious fud dud. You holy rollers. You religious people. And they'll mock you and they'll laugh at you and say, I hear it all the time. Right? Watch out. Psalms 2:4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. You ever hear, I've got the last laugh on you? He that laughs first, laughs last. Is that how it goes? God's got the last laugh. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. That's what they were when the flood came too. And then Psalms 9:20, put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. If you want to even go beyond men, in Isaiah 40:22, I think he says, he looks upon the circle of the earth, the people are like, the heavens are like grasshoppers. You know what I can do to a grasshopper? How many of you ever squished it? Boy, they squished. I'm not telling you to do that, but when I was a kid, when I was a kid, I did squish. When I was a kid, I haven't done it lately. Can't catch them anymore, too fast. When I was a kid, they got the big old legs and you catch up to them. Boy, if you got a bare foot, Josh, oh man, all that yummy, jummy, yubble, junk, green mire, you can't buy stuff at the store from Walmart like that. It sticks, it stains, squeeze. God says in Isaiah 40, He looketh upon the circle of the earth. That's why Columbus knew the world was not flat. He knew it was round because he read the Bible. The circle of the earth, it's round. And the inhabitants are like little grasshoppers. I used to have one instructor used to say, you're nothing but a bunch of grasshoppers, little grasshoppers. You know what? You know what a grasshopper does when we approach him? He stands still and he fears us. He reverences us. We ought to stand still and reverence our God. Now, God's not in the squishing business, but he can if he wants to. Sometimes we forget who really is in charge. Hello? I've said this before, because I have a bad temper. At least I think I do sometimes. But I'm getting over it. Doing better. If I'd have been God, I'd have squished me already. Because sometimes I say, hey, God, I'm not taking this. Oh, I say, oh, aren't you? Squick. I'll show you who's God. Amen? You see, Pharaoh didn't really know who he was messing with. Pharaoh really didn't understand who he was dealing with. I think a lot of people in 2007 don't really know who they're dealing with sometimes. I think down through the centuries, people said, who is this God of the Hebrews? I'm going to tell you, they're going to find out real soon who he is. And notice, go back to Exodus, chapter 5. And I want you to look at something with me. You know, I want you to read a scripture with me in chapter 9, verse 1. In Exodus chapter 9, verse 1, then the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. God wants his people to serve him. Are you set on serving him in 2007? Do you have a heart to serve God in 2007? He wants us to serve him. Amen? Come on, amen? Well, I want you to look at some, real quickly with me, I want you to look at these judgments and these plagues that God put on Pharaoh. to let them know who he really was. Look, he puts 10 judgments, 10 plagues on Pharaoh and the Egyptians. You should have read through it this week or something. Probably, yeah, you should have read through it this week. I'm ahead, so I don't know exactly where you are, but you should be in the book of Exodus. If you're reading through your Bible, you should have read this last week. Amen? How many read through this last week or week ago? Amen? All right, let's look at these plagues real quickly. Let's look at these 10 plagues. Exodus chapter 7, verse 20. Here's what he does to show Pharaoh who he really is. First of all, he turns the water, the river, to blood. By the way, many of these things that you see, they're going to come up in the tribulation, which is going to, when the rapture happens, this world's going into a 7-year tribulation period. And many of these things that you're seeing, many of these things you're seeing that he did in Egypt, he's going to do during the tribulation also. You can, when you read the book of Revelation, you're going to find some of these same judgments that are coming in the future. By the way, don't worry. You that are saved, we're going to be taken out of here. I'll keep you from that hour, Revelation 3:10. Are you with me? Look at, in Exodus 7:20, Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. That's all he asked us to do is do what he says. And, he lifted up the rod, smote the waters, and that were in the river, in sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. Can you imagine that Nile River? Can you imagine that Nile? The Nile there in Egypt, the river Nile, and it just turned into blood? Woo! Tell you one thing, they tell you don't drink the water in Mexico. Don't drink the water there either. Amen? Can you imagine the stench? Can you imagine going down there to get some water and say, oh my lands, a river of blood. I want you to notice also, many times, whatever Aaron and Moses did, the soothsayers and the Egyptian magicians and enchanters, they would try to mock what God did. Are you with me? They also turned some of the things blood. Now watch. Look at the next thing. He brought frogs. Exodus chapter 8. You think that turning the water to blood would be enough? But no, what the Bible says, Pharaoh's heart got hardened. You know, every time you look up here, and when you read this, it says, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Every time you keep saying no to God, every time you say no to God, young people, your heart gets harder and harder and harder. And later on in your life, you said, go, God, no, 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 no. Your heart becomes so hardened, you can do anything. Because your heart is so hardened toward God that you don't sense anything anymore. That's why you don't want to say no to God. One lady came here years ago and she was crying. She says, oh, preacher, I'm sorry, I'm crying. I said, no, don't cry because you're crying. That's a great thing that God's still speaking to your heart. It's when you can sit in this church service and hear the preaching and nothing moves your heart and you can't cry. That's when you should cry. Notice the frogs. Feel a little froggy? Go ahead and leap. He used to tell that kid, you want, come on. You feel froggy? Let's leap. Amen? Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. Look at verse 6 through 9. Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with enchantments and brought up frogs up on the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs. I've got a message. It wasn't mine, a great preacher, but it's preached all over America. All kinds of preachers preach it. It's called One More Night with the Frogs. Give me one more night with the frogs. Notice what it says there in Pharaoh, verse 8, that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let thy people go that they may sacrifice unto the Lord. Look up here, kids. Can you imagine this? I mean, frogs in your soup, frogs on your toaster, frogs in your bed. Just everywhere you go, frogs, frogs, frogs. I mean, frogs inside your clothes, frogs. Oh. I mean, frogs everywhere. I mean, everyone's going froggy. Are you with me? I mean, the whole picture, this whole building filled with frogs. Frogs everywhere. Frogs, I mean, coming out your ears, on your pizza, eating your pepperoni. Now I'm getting serious, ain't I? Now you're meddling, preacher. Don't mess with my pizza. Frogs everywhere. And finally he says, man, Moses, all right, I'll let you guys go. Tell God to get them out of here. Look at the next verse. Verse 9. Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee, for thy servants, for the people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? Now you think he would have said, Andy, I would have said, right now! Tell them right now! Get them out of here now! I can't stand another stinking moment with them. By the way, what if they had that stinking smell of blood on them? Because they came out of the river with the red blood. Are you with me? Well, I bet that was stinking, rotten filth everywhere. Look what he says. Verse 10. And he said, tomorrow. Give me one more night with the frogs! Moses, just give me one more night with the frogs. And that's the way the world heart is today. Just give me one more night of evil. Give me one more night to say no to God. Give me one more time to say no to God. You know, when are we going to wake up? What does God have to do to make us say yes to him? You would think a guy would have said, man, get him out right now. But he said, no, give me one more night with the frogs. How hardened the depravity of man is. I hope we wake up before we get that far away from God. Then look at the third thing. Lice. Exodus chapter 8. And look at verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, stretch out thy... Watch what he says here. I'm going to show you something. I'll show you this instead of Wednesday. Stretch out thy rod, smite the dust. Smite the dirt. Smite the dust of the ground. Smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Moses, verse 17. And they did, and Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod, smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man, in beast. And all the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Wow. There's times people get lice in their hair. Sometimes you get an epidemic in the schools and stuff. How many are with me? By the way, we don't have one right now. But it happens sometimes. How many have ever had lice? Man, that stuff gives me the willies. I mean, there was lice all through all their beasts, all their animals, all their bodies had lice. Man, that would have been enough for me to say, oh, God, please forgive me. Take that lice away. I'd rather have frogs than ice. Lice is, you're talking about, that's some bad stuff. Notice in the next verse, and the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. Oh. They could bring up the frogs. They could bring up the locusts. But they couldn't do the lice. Wonder why they couldn't do the lice. They did almost everything else. I'll tell you why. See, only God can create life. Remember in Genesis 2:7? And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. Watch this. See, he said, touch to bring up life from the, make lice from dust, from dirt. Satan can't reproduce life. Only God can. Are you with me? See, God, only God's the creator of life. And see, those other things, they just brought more frogs out of the water, Ruth. He didn't create, when those, they didn't create nothing. They just brought more up. But here, see, Carl, it was something that they had to make something come to life from dirt. Only God can do that. Hello? That's why they couldn't do it, Lizzie. That's why the Egyptians couldn't do it, because it took the hand of God to do it. Can anyone say amen? And so they got. Then look at the fourth thing. I got to keep moving. They brought flies. You think someone would say hello? Hello? Anybody home? I mean, the blood would have shook me up. Then the frogs, then the lice. Now he's bringing flies. 8:24. The Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies on the house of Pharaoh and his servants and horses, and in all the land of Egypt there was corrupt by the reason of a swarm of flies. Oh, my lands, flies, there were flies, my lands. Get them out of them. He says, God, please take, Moses, tell God to get rid of them for me. Then look at the next one. In 9:3, Miriam, that's the disease that killed animals. 9:3, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon the cattle, which is the field and the horses, upon the ass and the camels, upon the oxen, upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous Miriam, and the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of the cattle of the children of Israel. You know, it's amazing how God, he puts a difference between his children and the world's children. Did you ever notice that? Amen? And he killed their animals. Look at the sixth one, boils. I got to do this because I got a thought I want to give you, and we're running out of time. In chapter 9, verse 8 through 10, he brought boils. In chapter 9, verse 13, chapter 9, verse 23, brought hail. How many see that? The eighth judgment, he brought locusts. Exodus chapter 10, verse 12 through 14, he brought locusts. Then on the ninth one, look at Exodus chapter 10, verse 21, 3 days of darkness. 3 days of darkness. You see that in Exodus 10? Verse 12, the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up upon the land. That's the locust. That's the eighth one. 10:21. The Lord said, Moses, stretch out thy hand towards heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. So dark that you could feel it. It hurt. And Moses stretched forth his hand towards heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. 3 days of total darkness. By the way, Jesus was in the heart of the earth for 3 days when he died. Praise God, he arose that third day. Amen? You know, I noted there, though, 3 days of so dark that you could feel it, that it actually hurt people. It was so dark it was, you could feel the pressure of it. And I noted something. As great as that darkness was, Brother Carl, there was a greater darkness beyond that what God put in the physical realm. The spiritual darkness was far greater than the physical darkness. Pharaoh was so alienated from God and the things of God, he was spiritually darkened. And when man becomes spiritually darkened with God, watch out, they're in trouble. You don't want to become spiritually darkened or alienated from God. You want to let God's light work in you. Amen? What does God have to do to get us to look at? That's amazing. I wonder what God has to do to us sometimes. Look at the last thing, the death. Number 10. Exodus chapter 11, verse 4. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight, will I go out in the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. Verse 5. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sits upon the throne, even the firstborn of the maidservant is behind the mill, and the firstborn of the beast. Even the beast, the firstborn, died. Now watch. And there shall be a great cry throughout the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall it be any more. But against the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptian and Israel. I read that because I want you to know something. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and they know, and they follow me, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You look up here, child of God. There really is a difference between the world and you. The world ought to see a difference in us because God puts a difference. God's got a divider between you and the world, and the world should see that, that there's a difference in us. The world, Rod shouldn't have to tell the world he's a Christian. The world should know by his actions that he's a Christian. Does the world know by your actions that you're a Christian? Do they see the divine hand of God in your life? They should. Notice. I'm trying to look at Exodus 12:29, 29 and 30. And it came to pass at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh. Pharaoh's son was killed. Pharaoh's firstborn son was killed that sat on the throne. And look at, and those even in the dungeon. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. There was a great cry in Egypt that was not a house that there was not one dead. Every single person in Egypt, the firstborn died, just like God said. You want to know who I am, Pharaoh? Well, I'll send blood. Then I'll send frogs. Then I'll send lice. Then I'll send diseases. Then I'll send locusts and all, and everything. And you wouldn't think that God would have went this far with him. I wonder how far down the list God would have took us till we stopped and said, hey, God, I got the message. He gets down, so far he has to kill his son. I wonder how many people have walked away from God so much that it not only affected their life, but affected others around them. Do you see, when you say no to God, not only do you affect your life, you affect others around you, even your own family. Deborah, if he would obey God, his son would have never died. Hello? Now stay with me. I'm going to close all this up with this one, these last thoughts. By the way, they all die because, remember what God told Moses? Put the blood in the doorpost. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. If you see, all that died didn't have the blood. But any that had the blood on the doorpost, they lived. Because that blood was a picture of the Lamb. The Lamb's blood that would be shed 2,000 years later. The Christ, the Son of God. Are you with me? And Christ shed his blood on Calvary's cross. And those that have the blood, they don't die. But if you don't have the blood of Christ, you're going to die. You must be born again. You got to have that blood applied to you just like they had. You don't have the blood. You don't have the Lamb's blood. And Jesus is the Lamb of God. You got to have that blood applied to you or you will die and go to hell. I want to close with these last verses. Look at Exodus chapter 14. Look at Exodus 14, look at verse 12. Exodus 14, verse 12. Is not this the word that we did tell the Egyptians, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the world. I jumped because we don't have time to go through all this. They took all the jewels and everything. People just said, here, take everything you want, get out of here. And then Pharaoh got mad against it. Oh, we're going after him. He got all his chariots and 600 chariots and all his army, and he ran after Israel to kill him. And they caught up to him at the Red Sea, and then God opens up the Red Sea. You know the story. Look at verse 13. Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. See, they were complaining. Why didn't we just stay in Egypt? You know what? I know, child of God, you're never better off in Egypt. They said in verse 12, Moses, we were better off in Egypt. You were never better off in Egypt. What do you mean? When you were lost, you were never better off in the lost world. Now that you're saved, you should never go back to Egypt. People go back to Egypt. They think that, no, you're worse off in Egypt than you ever are on the land of God. By the way, notice it says, when you're getting some problems, stand still. Child of God, You need to stand still and watch God work in your life. We panic. We panic. Oh, we're going to go under. Oh, what's going to happen to us? Hello? You don't love me. If God loved me, he wouldn't do this to me. Yes, he does things sometimes because he does love us. Because a lot of times he makes us, when we get in those pressure points, it makes us look to him. Look up here. See, sometimes we become too self-reliant on self. God wants us to rely on him. And Moses said, hey, you bunch of rebels, stand still and see the salvation of God. Let God, why don't you just stand still and let God work this out for you? Are you with me? Look at verse 14. Child of God, the Lord will fight for you. Look what he says in verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you. How many see that? A lot of times we try to work it out ourselves. Let God do the fighting for you. I've had a hard time with my life like that. Sometimes I want to take things in my control. We need to let God take control. Amen? Let the Lord fight the battle for you. By the way, you're no match for him anyway. You're no match for Satan. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. Without Christ, I can do nothing. Amen? Drop down to verse 16. Lift up thy rod, stretch out thy hand, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. When you read this, God calls it, look up here, this is so cool. They didn't get it right on TV, but I'm going to give it to you right now. God caused an east wind, and he opened up that Red Sea, and just like this here, let's say you're the waves on each side. God caused the wind, and the Dead Sea, Red Sea literally opened right up. The Red Sea opened, and there were huge waves on both sides. There was the water was like a wall on each side, and the children of Israel went right across on dry ground. No, they didn't wade. It was God blew the water out and dried it up, and there was huge waves on each side, and they had to have faith, though. By the way, they had to have faith to go in there. And you read the book of Hebrews, you'll see that they did have faith. Hebrews 11 talks about the faith of Moses that went in that water. It took faith to trust God. And so God opened up that, and they had faith, and they ran. And they ran through that sea on dry land going to the other side. And Pharaoh was right behind him. And God kept a cloud in between him and a fire. And so he couldn't get kept. And then after they got to the other side, God said, okay, Pharaoh, okay. Notice 21. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters that were divided. And the children of Israel went, 22, in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. Can you imagine how high that water was? Huge. Think with me now. They're going through. By the way, you have to understand something here. You're not talking about 150 people. You're talking about a million, maybe two. They estimate maybe close to 2 million with boys and with kids and everybody. They estimate close to 2 million. You got to get this. You read this, but you don't realize how great your God is. First of all, he's a great God to open it up. Then God's transporting 2 million. 2 million? 2 million? How many think that's a lot of people? That's a lot of people. I hate to have that many for Super Church and have to feed them cookies. 2 million. That's a lot of cookies. Amen. Now watch. They go through on 2 million people. Who is this Lord God? Well, he's got enough to bring the frogs. He's got enough to bring the lice. He's got enough to bring the diseases and the locusts. He's got enough to bring make the firstborn die without the blood. And now he's a God. Who is this God? He's a God that can open up the sea and let 2 million people of his walk across free on dry land. Are you still with me? Notice in 21, Moses stretches out his arm to hand over to open it up. And then if you look at verse 27, Moses stretches forth his hand. Moses stretches his hands two times, Eddie. One to open, one to close. I like this. Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned strength. Verse 27, when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came in the sea after them, and there remained not so much as one of them. He killed them all, including Pharaoh. They all were killed. God destroyed all their enemies at that time. He'll destroy your enemies if you just let them. He'll take you through on dry ground if you'll just let him. He'll help you to the other side if you'll just trust him. Amen? Watch. I'm finishing this out. Look at verse 29. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and the left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Can you see them all floating? All those chariots, all those. That's where all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't bring them back together again. Amen. That's where Humpty Dumpty came from. Last verse, and I'm done. 31. And the Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon Egypt, the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Listen, the Lord saved Israel. The God of the Hebrews saved them out of peril. And my thought is this. Do you know the God of the Hebrew? Is he your Savior? Who is this Lord? Who is this God of the Hebrews? Do you know him? You need to know him. Do you have that spirit in you? Why should I listen to you, preacher? Why should I listen to you? I don't care about him. I've had people come to this church while I'm preaching and say, I don't care about him. That's the spirit of Pharaoh. You better care about him because one day you're going to meet him. And by the way, I noted in Psalms 14:1 earlier, the fool hath said, hath said, that's past tense. The fool hath said there's no God. You know why it's past tense? Because he said it, but then he met God. Now he knows there is one. It's like people say there's no hell, but they don't say it afterward because they go to hell. Hath said, past tense. He can't say it present because he knows, here there is a God. Can I show you how great your God is? Let me just read one last scripture to you. It's in the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Might want to turn to it. 1 Timothy, I'm done preaching. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 through 17. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, wherein thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now watch what he says. I give thee charge in the sight of God. He sees all that we do, who quickens all things before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate received a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch. Watch what it's telling you there. Which is his times he shall show who's a blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Who is he? He's God. Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Almighty, Alpha Omega, amen? Who hath Christ, who, verse 16, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light which no man can approach on thee, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power and everlasting. Charge them that are rich in the world that they may not be high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but trust in the living God who giveth richly all things to enjoy. I'm going to tell you something. Pharaoh found out, hey, Moses, who is this God that you're so talking about? He found out who he was. I want to ask you in 2007, do you know God? Do you know who he is? He's a mighty God. And by the way, Jesus was God in the flesh. And when you take Jesus in your heart, you know God because Jesus was God. He was God incarnate. Amen? You know what? Someone says, why should I listen to you? Who's this God of yours? You just tell him, hey, he's the God, that he's the creator. He's the one that put the rainbow in the sky and it's still there. He's the one that hung the stars, and that's why they're still hanging, because he hung them. By him, now is he the creator, but by him, you're consisting because of him. I'm all done. I got to quit. These atheist kids, oh, I hate God. There's no God. How can you hate someone that's not there? But you know what, Levi? It's a good thing God never dies. Because, listen, Brother Brent, if God ever died, Lou, if God ever died, you would disappear. Because by him, all things consist. You better hope the light never goes out. It won't, by the way. He's God. He's from ever to everlasting. That's who God is. By the way, if you've taken him as your Savior, that's who you got in your corner. You see, the reason I took all this time, you said, I knew that story about Pharaoh. I think sometimes you read these things, you forget that the God of Moses that did that to Pharaoh, Jack, that's your God. He's the same God. And so, Christian, let the world know he's alive. And don't be ashamed of him, because he is a mighty God. And don't say no to him, because it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. You know, it's sorry, Pharaoh had to learn the hard way. Do you have to learn the hard way? If I was you, I'd just submit to him. Say, Lord, here am I. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed before we go home, how many would say, Pastor, I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I've asked Christ to save my soul. I knew one day I was going to hell, and I asked Jesus to save me. And I know if I die, I'd go to heaven. I know for a fact, 100%, if I died, go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure I'm saved. Thank you. You may put them down. How many would be concerned for their soul? Say, Pastor, I'll be honest with you. I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. Preacher, would you pray for me? Just pray that I can know Christ as my Savior. I don't want to die in my sins and go to hell. When I die, I want to go to heaven. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Just raise your hand. Yes, I see it. God bless you. Who else? God bless you. Who else? Pray for me. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. Promise. Preacher, I'm not sure if I die. I never really realized. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm not talking about joining the church. Have you really realized that you need Christ? He is real. He's real. He's more than a swear word. He's not a figment of your imagination. He's a literal person. He came and died and arose, and he's alive in heaven right now, and he's going to come back real soon. Well, he's only going to come for those that know him as Savior. If you don't know him as Savior, you're going to be left behind. Don't get left behind. Take him today as your Savior. Ask him to come in your heart. was a kid on Galena Street. He said he couldn't save me. He saved an alcoholic like me. He saved a back alley kid like me. I think he can save anybody. He can save you if you'll let him. Trouble is, some of you will say, like Pharaoh, why should I? Who's he? You're going to harden your heart. You're going to keep saying no to God. And one day it'll be too late. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart. People would be saved today. Help them to see that Pharaoh was a fool and Pharaoh received the judgment of God. Help them to escape the judgment through Christ Jesus. We ask these things in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. Brother Rod's going to lead us in a verse. What verse will we read?
401.
The sad part about people saying no to God, always remember this, Andy. The sad part for anyone to say no to God is it hardens their heart. And then the next time it's a little easier to say no. And it hardens a little more. And eventually, even though God speaks, you know, your heart is so hard, your ears are so calloused, you no longer care. And what the scripture teaches, I teach in the book of Romans, the light, God puts a spiritual light in you, it becomes dark. If that light that be in you be darkened, how great is the darkness? And what happens? The light goes out. And your heart becomes so hardened that you can know that no matter what God says, you turn a deaf ear. Don't take lightly saying no to God. You Christians, thank God you asked God to save you. But don't take lightly when God says don't do this. Because I'm going to tell you take that lightly, you say no, I don't care, God, I'm going to do it anyways. The next thing you're going to be doing more and more, next thing you're away from God. We need to learn, as you read through this Bible, you need to learn some things from those people in the Bible. Pharaoh can teach you a lot. What he taught me was don't say no to God. Some of you might say no to God about salvation. You might never get another chance. We're going to sing one more verse. If you'd like to come and trust Christ, you come. If you might just want to pray, you come. Whatever how God's speaking to you, you come.
For Jesus and His precious blood.
Misty brought Kiara and